Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Hope y'all are having a great Friday night out there. We join you as that sun sets. Seth and I here with you this Friday. Good to have you with us, man.
Yeah. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Yeah.
We're here to take your phone calls. Call up and join the conversation. 715-424-2600. Hit us right in the numbers, everybody. Go ahead and join us.
Right in the hands. Right there.
Right in the hands.
There.
Thank you. I keep saying it, and I'm waiting for somebody to get what I'm going with there.
Yeah,
it's a sports
right.
show.
Right
Hit
there.
Them in the numbers.
Yeah, right.
Thank
yeah.
you, man. We got plenty to talk about today. I want to get into some River Kings, some Brewers. I want to talk a little bit, of course, about the schedules coming up tonight, or this weekend, I should say, with
right.
college and pro football. But where I really want to start is two places. One, thanking our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting their words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Big thank you to them. And the perfect way to start the show with our listeners. Good afternoon. You are in the game.
Good afternoon, guys. It's happy Friday. Good time of the year. You got college basketball basically starting this time of year. You have semifinals for high school football that's happening tonight. State eight-man football tomorrow here in Rapids.
That's right. Yeah.
What more? And then you got Bear-Packer weekend. What more can a person ask for?
It's a great weekend.
It is.
There's a lot to be looking forward to. There's a lot to, lot on the plate, that's for sure.
Mm.
And it's game day for me, too. Me and Seth, we got a show tonight. We got a show tonight.
Less
tomorrow.
Than 2 hours, yeah.
We this is as close as I get to sports, man. This is game day for me. I'm training. I'm ready. So it's a fun weekend. We're excited about it. Is there anything on the slate outside of that you're looking at? It's hard during a Bear-Packer weekend, NFL-wise. Like, what other games are exciting, but we're going to take a look at the schedule at some point. Might as well do it right now. I do think that the Titans and Vikings could be interesting just because the Titans are interesting this year. And I don't know what the Vikings are going to do this week or week to week. I think Ravens Steelers is a really good one. And Sunday Chiefs Bills. That's a classic.
Another good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple of games out there at least.
So I heard someone refer to it this year's game of the century.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's right. one every year, right?
Every year,
yeah.
Every
or a
year,
couple, actually, yeah. every year.
Well, when it comes to that Bills-Chiefs game, I mean, I think, the Chiefs have been pulling a lot of these games out, toward the end. I mean, they've had a couple games where, they've won comfortably. But, boy, with the news coming out, I don't know, was it yesterday or today, was their kicker for the Chiefs out for the season,
Yeah.
So that could be a big factor in the game on Sunday night.
Absolutely.
Special teams, man.
They can do it. They can come back and get you.
Gets you so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
And us Packer fans know what that's like, having a game. I mean, that's just...
Absolutely.
But, and then you talk about, this could be the make-right game for Sam Darnold again with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
He's struggled here the last couple weeks.
Yeah,
I can't say that the Titans will win. I mean, I'll take the Vikings. I think they're on the road, correct?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think I would take the Vikings on that one.
Oh man, I got to say with that. Sam, so he had the last two games. He has two of like the worst defenses in the league this year with Indianapolis and Jacksonville. And what he did, that it makes me nervous, man. It makes me real nervous. Is this old Sam Darnold? Is he returned?
I will. One thing to I think that's noteworthy. One, his attitude on the sideline in both of those games was not that of the Jets Darnold.
I hope you're right.
it wasn't that guy that was on the sideline talking about seeing ghosts or anything like that. He had his head up. He handled it. So, 27. In football years, that's 37. He's matured a lot in this.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that he's making the right decisions, of course, and everything.
Yeah.
But, Ryan Tannehill and a handful of other quarterbacks really showed that what they could learn as they got older and got better at these things. Josh Allen sped up pretty quickly.
That's true.
Overnight or really over an offseason in that. I wouldn't be shocked if Sam Darnold just went up against a couple of tough defenses. It is what you want it to be. The one thing that I don't understand when we do this with, they were the last ranked defense or they were the first ranked defense or anything. I feel like we forget we have normalized all of these are warriors. Yes. All of these individuals are insane warriors that at any other given time in life would have been like gladiators or something like that. Like there is no like bad team. Really. There's teams that are bad in comparison to good teams, of course.
Right.
But all of these individuals work to get to this place.
Any given Sunday, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen it so many darn times. This is all I have to hope for with my team. So, of course, I'm going to talk about it that way and I look at it that way. But I did want to get to one thing other than football. So we can wrap on the Bear-Packer game with you, Kev. But I do real quickly want to get to one other thing because I'm curious. And I want to put it out there into the ether, into the audience. There is, you know, in my house growing up, there was nothing bigger than Fight Night. Nothing. The Stanley Cup playoffs, MLB playoffs, all these things were second to a big Fight Night. My father, the way that he watches boxing, the way he gets into it, I never see him more locked into anything. I never see him quieter than watching boxing.
Wow.
Every other sport, he's yelling, he's talking, he's yelling at me, he's punching, whatever. Boxing locked in. And there were a few fighters that were like must-see fighters like Mike Tyson. Off the field, you know, a whole other story and all that. And you can talk about that on another show or something like that. But right here, talking about the boxer himself.
In the ring, right.
We have not seen a fighter like Mike. I grew up, you know, loving a lot of these guys. Benny Pazienza and Roy Jones and some of these guys. And amazing fighters. A lot of great middleweights. A lot of great heavyweights around the time. Not one of these guys. Go back and watch every single fight Mike Tyson ever fought. The bell has barely finished. And he is not only out, but he's charging. He charges. I think maybe his last fight, and not in talking about Roy Jones Jr. or anything, but before that, where he kind of famously after the fight said, you know, I just wasn't into it. My heart isn't in it. I'm doing this to feed my kids and all that. Outside of that, you've never seen a fighter like him, let alone the guy that did the utter dominance of his punches. One of the greatest fighters of all time, pound for pound, was Roy Jones Jr. And he just talked about this in a podcast recently where he's talking about the punches. He fought Tyson in their 50s. And Roy talks about it like, man, they're saying, hey, you got to take it easy. Mike don't know how to take it easy. That man only knows one speed. And he takes a punch, he thought he got kicked by a horse. Like, and that's at 50-something. Jake Paul, what he is walking into today, he's never walked into any situation like this in life. Mike Tyson, the thing that made him one of the greatest fighters ever is also the thing that makes him the most dangerous fighter ever, as Evander Holyfield found out, that this guy he is not an animal, he's a human being, and I don't like doing that, but his attitude towards fighting, towards life, is that of an animal. If his leg gets caught in the trap, he will gnaw it off and keep going. He will not stop. You have to stop him. I know this attitude well, and I know this kind of fighter very well, and I have no interest, I will admit completely, I have no interest in giving Jake Paul 2 seconds of my time,
right?
But man, if he knocks him out, as soon as those highlight videos come up, that's all I'll be doing this weekend. I'll be watching that. It'll be the Bears and Packers will be on, you know, third period or third quarter or whatever, and I'm still watching that clips of that, man, because it might be the last time we ever see it, for one.
Right.
And I'm like a lot of, like, a good 80-some% of the audience out there. I want to see Jake Paul take a punch. I want to see him actually take a real punch. Win or lose is here or there. Neither fighter can truly win. No. If Tyson knocks out Jake Paul, great. You knocked out a human being. You knocked out a civilian. I don't care what anybody says. He's a civilian. He's not a boxer. And if Jake Paul wins, wow, great job. You knocked out a guy who's basically a senior citizen.
Yeah, right. He's almost 60 years old.
Well done. So this is obviously just a circus event everything. And that part of it, I don't really want to give attention. But I do not begrudge anybody. Tons and tons of people that I look up to have talked about this fight and said that they may be watching or not and everything. I have no opinion, but I want to know where you guys stand on this one. Do you have any interest? If you could, let's say you do have Netflix, whether you do or don't, would you watch it?
Well, James, here's the story. It's a 7 o'clock start. By the time the game or the fight starts, I'm going to be watching on the Peacock the Badgers basketball game.
There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, once this fight's done, you can go on TikTok, you're going to be able to go on social media and see the 3 minutes that the fight probably lasts.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, it's a money grab for both.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's all this is. This is just, you saw the drama yesterday when Tyson slapped Jake, and the way.
Oh, actually, I think that was real, though. Jake Paul is a child, and he's crawling around and everything because he's not taking the sport seriously or anything like that. But as he was doing that, because he's not very good at these things, he stepped on Mike's foot. And when you do that to a certain character, to a certain person, it's like, the old story of stepping on somebody's Jordans or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, he could have obviously sucker punched him or something like that. He slapped him. And that shows you not only Mike Tyson is not underestimating this guy, but that he knows this guy. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's walking into. And I think another side thing, 100%, this is a money grab. This is a money grab if we've ever seen one. You look up a definition of it and is this.
Yeah.
I don't think that Tyson needs the money. I don't think that Tyson needs to be doing this. There is a part of him that's doing this for some other reasons that I don't think we really know, and he's probably never going to tell us. Mike's not necessarily that kind of guy. He's right. I'm very curious to hear some stories after this fight, and you're going to be able to tell within the first 5 seconds of the fight what kind of fight this is going to be. I just told you, if Mike Tyson comes bucking out of there, like a bull out of the gate, then this is a real fight, possibly. But if you don't see that, you see them just dancing around.
Sparring around,
yeah. Man, go watch the Badgers or listen to the Badgers right here or something.
Yeah, right.
Something like that. So, Kev, real quick before you go, I do have some stats of the show for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it involves the Bear-Packer game. We know that the rivalry over the years has become more lean towards Green Bay, and Green Bay has a lead currently in the series. They are up 107-95 over the Bears. There are 6 ties in the series, which is kind of interesting. But I got a couple of things that I don't think everybody knows. Like, for one, the Bears won the first 2 meetings of the Green Bay, Decatur Staleys, and then the Chicago Bears. You can only one team can win the first. Please give me this. Please, just give me this. What I really thought was kind of cool here, and I hadn't heard this, and please, if you guys had, and this is common knowledge, go ahead and throw it in my face. The Bears-Packers rivalry is credited for the first ever ejection of players for fighting during an NFL game.
Oh.
We really? Started it.
No, I didn't know that.
Nobody did it before us. Huh? This is something we can all take pride in. Green Bay, Chicago, see? We can all take pride in this. Nobody did it before us. It took that rivalry, it took that series for the first ejections. And they all said, whoa, I don't even know, what do we do here with it? I just kick them out? Imagine the conversation with those umpires, with those referees, right? Like, what do we do here? This is really, they're still fighting. Come on, guys. Come on.
Well, we got to get him out of here.
I thought that was pretty interesting, Kev.
That was, I never heard of that one before.
No, that's good, yeah.
The record, they brought it up, all week has been on the talking heads that Matt LaFleur is 10-0 against the Bears. And all that. But, I kind of wanted to tell you a little bit of a story growing up in a Packer family. My uncle, which I would say he was probably my second father. I mean, during deer season, we had to be out of the woods by noon because the Packer game was on. We were done hunting on opening weekend at noon. We had to make sure we were in. And the Packer games were, church. Noon, whenever the Packers played, especially if they were on, you had a chance to watch them on national TV. Back in the 80s, and that was when the Packers weren't very good, so they're very not on TV. But when I come to the Bear Packer game, you couldn't even talk to my uncle. I mean, he was so locked in to these Packer Bear games, And then he had the 85 Bears. They won the Super Bowl. I thought my uncle. It was probably the following year that we actually ended up losing him. We kind of jokingly say it is because we lost him because of the Bears won the Super Bowl.
To be fair, a lot of Chicagoans had a heart attack too. They never thought they'd see it.
But back in those days, though, if we beat the Bears one time during those years, when the lean years for us winning games, that was our Super Bowl, is beating the Bears. Mm-hmm. You know, with Dicka, he did not. I mean, he obviously, because he was a former Bear himself, and he did not like the Packers at all. And if he had a chance to step on the Packers' throat, he was going to do it. He didn't care. His guys were going in there grabbing face masks, and still, he wasn't holding back. And my uncle just despised the Bears. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, and then my cousin, he married a girl from Minnesota. She wasn't a football fan at all. Mm-hmm. But her dad was a Vikings fan, but he didn't really care about it. If it would have been a Bears fan, let me tell you something, that would have probably, that was just one team that my uncle had that he just did not like at all. And I could just see him now sometimes sitting, watching the games, and he probably would be just grinning ear to ear, especially the way the things have been since Brett Favre, pretty much. I mean, the Bears haven't won that many games since Brett Favre took over the reins in Green Bay. So
heck, Mikowski really got it started over the line, but got it started. I'm joking. I'm kidding. I barely remember the play. I barely remember. I just remember that part of it.
That's going to be another one that's going to live in infamy.
There's so many.
Over the line,
You've got the weekend that Walter Payton passed away, and there's no reason the Bears should win that game, and a blocked PAT. Back then, when we saw them once in a blue moon and everything.
Right, yeah, very rare.
There's been so many great games over the history, and that's, to me, Look, I understand what it's like, because I did get this. I do remember what it was like, those dominant years for Chicago a little bit. I was a kid, but I do remember some of it. And obviously the flip of this and everything. So Packer fans know what it's like now and everything. But I do miss those just, I know I'm going to get a good game. I just want a competitive game. I really do want to watch a game where it's not just a phrase. The record books really have been thrown out. Mm-hmm. And these are just two teams going toe-to-toe, and anybody could win it. Whoever has the last ball, the ball last, or something like that. And I don't want to see a game where, well, this team wins because of mistakes. Like, I just want to see a good game in this series. Honestly, at this point, I'm not even caring if they win or not. If the Bears win, I probably won't believe it for a couple days. I'll still be watching Mike Tyson knocking out Jake Paul. But I do want a competitive game. I do want to see that again. Mm-hmm. And not for any other reason than I just want to see a competitive game. I just miss that. I'm done with the whole, this game would be our Super Bowl or something like that. Man, whether they beat Green Bay or not, this season's lost. They created hope, and that's the most dangerous thing to put in a sports fan, if you can't back it up. So you've got to rebuild that with the fan base, for one. Mm-hmm. Not with Caleb Williams, not with Rome Odunze or some of these players or anything. It's the GM, it's the coaching staff. One thing that Bears fans have learned is where to put their anger. and it is very seldom on a player. Man, we had Jay Cutler, and it wasn't even at Cutler. they know. It's the McCaskey name. So I think that part is going to be – that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a competitive game again. And if it ain't coming, then, what else do you have to look forward to in this series? Sure, the Packers keep on winning. That's great if you're a Packer fan. I get that. But not if you're a football fan. I love our area of the country, but we are a small part of the country. This rivalry, I want it to mean something to everybody. I want everybody to care about this one like it's Red Sox-Yankees. Mm-hmm. They used to. I don't know if they do anymore. Right. I'd like that to come back again. The only way that can is if both teams are competitive. So one team needs to step up, because the other team's pulling their weight. The smaller market team is pulling its weight. They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. We got to do ours. It's not being, not we. They got to do their job. I am not attaching myself to that team as far as ownership.
You've done enough.
I bleed those colors. I love that team. But Kev, it was so great what you were saying, and I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us here on the air and sharing that story. While you were sharing that, I remember similar ones with my uncle, with my dad, my papa. That when this game in particular was on, silence. Yeah. It's the only time it was quiet during sporting events. Boxing, Friday night fights, and something like this. I just hope it's a good one, and I hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy your weekend, man.
Oh, yes. It should be a good weekend. It's pre-opening weekend for deer hunting. Got to get everything ready to go and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it's hopefully it's a good weekend. Hopefully the Badgers can pull a good one out tonight against Arizona.
Yeah.
Hopefully tomorrow the Badgers can make it a competitive game with Oregon. But
yeah, just respectable. You know, be respectable.
Yeah.
Get a good finish to that game. Leave with your head up.
Get a good moral win.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is one of those times, where you're playing this team. Yeah.
Yep.
Take care, man. Have a good
one. All right, you guys. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
424-2600, phone line to call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. I did want to, before we went to break, I was touching on the Tyson fight coming up. I'm not going to call it the Tyson-Paul fight, the Tyson fight.
Yes. It's only one real boxer in this.
Yeah. There was a well-written article out of our Wisconsin Rapids Tribune recently. I do want to shout out Drake Bentley out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay.
I saw this via the Rapids Tribune, but it actually premiered out of there, about a Wisconsin boxer who fought Mike Tyson back in 1986. And he says Jake Paul better be ready to take a punch.
Yep.
This fighter is named Steve Zawski.
Okay.
And I don't know if the listeners will recognize that name or not. Now, the Zawskis happen to be a bit of a Nakusa family, so maybe there's some listeners out there will. And maybe you may even notice that name. Like, that sounds familiar. Is that your sister's last name? Because, yes, it is. her husband, Mac, his dad is Steve.
Oh, my gosh. He fought Mike Tyson?
He fought Mike Tyson, man.
Whoa!
Yeah. He went toe-to-toe with Tyson. Round two, had a nice couple of combinations in there. Steve will be the first to tell you that he wasn't a prize fighter himself. He was 2-7 record coming into this and everything. But wanted this, you know? And this is when Tyson's building up to be the legend that he is
the one,
and everything.
Yeah.
And I've heard him talk about this, and I've watched some of the fight with him a little bit and everything. And it is wild.
I bet it is. Wow.
The reverence. And this isn't a guy who like just romanticizes anything. He's a very pretty straightforward guy and everything. The way he talks about those punches, but to be standing next to somebody who did that. Like, there's few things
there's
in life.
Something about it, you know.
There's few things in life where you don't have to win. Mm. He won. He fought
won.
Tyson, and not only that, he survived.
Yeah,
like that's pretty dang noteworthy.
Does he still have his teeth? All right, cool.
Great guy, by the way. Steve's a great guy. Great guy. Let's go ahead and take a call before we go to timeout. Good afternoon. You were on the game. On the game. In the game.
Hi. Say this is Dave Kuntz. I'm the head coach of the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Well, yeah.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Was hoping you would be able to. Dave is joining us as part of the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Krakens tonight a little bit. Dave, appreciate the time. First off, can you tell us a little bit about what you do with the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club?
Well, I'm the head coach, so I create all of the workouts. I create the plans. You know, whatever a coach does in terms of making better swimmers. We are part of the rec department, and we are an educational entity of that. So we're taking swimmers between the ages of 6 and 15, and we compete. We have a regular swim conference that we're involved with, all the way from Black River Falls all the way up to Rice Lake and Phillips and all of those places. And so it's my job to make sure that the kids are ready to go on game day. They have all of their strokes are legal. We set up the relays, and it's my job to get up to those meets and watch them swim and give them some correction, and hopefully we get best times every time we hit the water.
Dave, tell us about the Krakens.
Well, Rapids has never had a swim club before. There was a swim team over at the Y, but never an organized club in terms of having competitive swimming. This was the year of the Olympics, and I know many of your listeners probably watched the Olympics, and that's basically what we do. We are a competitive swim team, and we train the kids and teach them how to do the butterfly, breaststroke, backstroke, and freestyle, and then they compete anywhere from one length up to 20 lengths in the pool, depending on their race and their age group. Like I say, the young people, 8 and under, swim basically 25s, and then it just ramps up every 2 years to a point where we've got high school swimmers with us as well, and they compete in the longer distances. So it is a competitive group. We meet 4 days a week, and we have practice, and we do the best we can with the water time we have, and we're trying to make swimming great again as it was in Rapids back in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s.
Yeah, I remember those days. I remember some of that, going to school in the late 90s and everything. Dave, when it comes to training and getting these kids ready for the next level and everything, is it a lot about, because it feels like just the support and giving them the opportunity to get in the water and do some of those things, getting more and more reps in, if you will, is a good part of it. Is there other parts of this as far as, you know, exercises and different training techniques you guys are doing?
Well, I'm a big believer in a balanced practice. In my early years of coaching, I had kids just swim, and that led to a lot of shoulder issues. So now what I do is I make sure that there's a good balance between just using your arms in the pool, and then we switch to kicking. We'll do long-distance swimming, then we'll do some short stuff where they do sprints. And I think that's the all-around best thing that we can do for swimmers. Plus, we have a dry land program to where, you know, the traditional bench presses and arm stretches, your push-ups, we use stretch cords. We have a swimming machine where a child can get right on it and then use that, and I can kind of watch their stroke. So there's a lot of time spent outside the water in order to make a more well-rounded swimmers.
Wow. Very cool.
Very nice. Interesting. Yeah.
How often do you guys get together, Dave? How often are practices?
Well, right now we're over at the Lincoln Community Pool, and on Mondays and Wednesdays we're there from 6 to 8, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays we're there from about 7 to 8:30.
Very cool. Dave, if parents out there are listening to this and they would like to get their kids involved, maybe we could get some volunteers and help out with this or something. How can they find out more? How can they reach you?
Oh, that's great. Well, the rec department is certainly the first place to go, and you can give their number a call. I guess I'm sitting here at my computer. I don't have a number for the rec department offhand.
Oh, that's all right. I'll look that up, and I'll have it for our listeners before we wrap up.
Okay, and then the other aspect of it is that we have a Facebook page, so just go on to Facebook and dial up Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club, and you'll get all the information on how to contact us and how to, we've got meet results. We've been very lucky in that the Times has been very kind to us. Every time that we have a swim meet, you'll see our meet results are on there. And there again, you know, we always publish the rec department and then reference our Facebook page as well.
You know, the next time you get some of those results, we'd love to get them here and love to have you on and kind of explain them to people, especially, you know, we got some people out there that may not know what those numbers mean and everything. We can explain it for them. That's how you get people to grow into a sport, you know, explaining it and making sure that they get it. And I grew up with a couple friends that were swimmers and everything, so I know the sport fairly well, but I think I'd even be right into being able to relearn some of that stuff. So
absolutely.
You're going to be with us again and again, Dave. I'm just warning you right now. You're going to have to join us again.
Well, my pleasure. It was a pleasure to meet some of you folks at the sports banquet too, for the sports commission, in where we were celebrating a number of individuals for their contributions to the sports world here in Wisconsin, or in Wisconsin Rapids. I happened to be the recipient of the Rookie of the Year award because they were, we're a brand new team, and the sports commission recognized that. Our then they offered the most valuable coach of the year, and that was the gentleman for the River Kings.
That's right, Coach Paul.
It was a great night, and it was a great conversation today. Thank you again for joining us, Dave. We'll make sure that people get find out how they can get in touch with you and maybe get involved with the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club, and at least keeping up with the events and showing up to some matches and everything. Thank you again for joining us, Dave.
Yeah, great. Well, we're a 50, 501c3 organization, so we're always happy to take donations too.
All right, good to know.
No, that is good. That was well done, sir. Nicely done getting that in. You have a great night. Have a good weekend, Dave.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Right. Dave Kotz joining us there, head coach of the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club, talking a little about the club and about the Krakens, the young swim club, building the future of swimming here in Rapids and getting it back where it should be, back at the top. Back
brand new, just started for a little while. That's great, though.
It's pretty cool.
Love it.
Yeah, and very deserving. Rookie
yes,
of the year.
Absolutely.
I imagine, Dave, it's been a while since somebody called him a rookie. That's got to feel good.
He'll take it.
I take it, too. Yeah, it's got to feel good. It feels good to get in Quality Post Printing right here. We're going to do that, come back, have some more fun. We'll talk a little baseball, talk some River Kings, and we'll talk to you coming up on Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here on WFHR. It's a Friday. It's a Friday edition of Playmakers. We're going to have some fun. We're going to play some music we don't always get the chance to play.
That's right.
And have some conversations we don't always get to. We got Michael Comer joining us on the phone right now. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Enjoying this Friday atmosphere, this weather today, the vibe in the air. It's good. There's a good vibe in the air with people and everything. A lot to look forward to this weekend. What is at the top of your mind sports wise? What do you want to talk about tonight, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of keeping an eye on what the River Kings do over Minnesota against the number one Squatch. I mean, that can really do a lot for the seeding coming up. And granted, we're 2-3 months away from that, but I'm interested to see how that goes. And then, of course, what James is probably jonesing to watch later tonight, and that would be Mr. Tyson and Mr. Paul, and not Randy.
We wouldn't let Randy anywhere near that.
That would be one of the shortest matches. I'd be diving into that ring. The first time I'd ever thrown a sucker punch in my life would have been right there. Would have been right there at Jake Paul, and I would not apologize one second for it. I'm looking forward to with the Kings in this series is right now, and like you touched on, it is early, but right now it's looking like you got the two. Well, to keep using the heavyweights in this division right now, it looks like. So let's see. Let's find out how you match up against them. And as Coach would tell you, this is also not only are you playing to win these games, but you're making mental notes. Mm-hmm. You're looking for things that you can tell. Well, here's his tell, or here's what something that he does when he's got the puck in this hand or on this side. He tends to shoot often, or that over here he's passing it more often. You're just collecting more and more data. Both teams are doing that. And that's going to make for an exciting season of hockey here, let alone tonight, this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one is how the River Kings goaltending is going to keep going. I mean, it's been their calling card most of the season.
Last season it was pretty impressive too.
Yeah.
Going into this season, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was a question mark. I just didn't know because these are new guys, these are new kids and stuff. And I thought that was quite. I could not take my eyes off them the whole game, the first game, a home game of the season for me that I saw. Our first home game of the season.
Right. Yeah.
Great game. Mm-hmm. And I really love the attitude of these goalies. They got a nice depth on this team, and especially at that key position.
Yeah, and I mean, tonight, I haven't seen anything yet. That's still a couple hours away. I would assume, which maybe you don't ever want to do that, but I think you'd be seeing Turcotte and Shaw again. So those are two of the top ones. But I mean, Turcotte's been playing, or Turcotte, which pronunciation you prefer. And that's one that I've even asked, and I've never gotten a straight answer.
You're not gonna.
I mean, that's a thing. But he's been playing really, really well lately. He played against the Dells last Thursday and got a shutout, first one of the year. And then, like tomorrow, if we would end up seeing Podgurny, if being Saturday game, if maybe he has a bounce back game, he did not play well against the first game of against the Express.
Yeah.
No, that was a rough game, but I really enjoyed. I really liked how the Kings came back on Saturday after a tough loss. For that 5-0, if I remember correctly, was the final score.
Yep.
I was impressed with how well they played in the game after that, coming back after a tough loss. Man, they really showed their mettle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did, and I mean, anyone that knows any sports, I mean, you give up a couple of runs in the first inning, or you allow the kickoff to start the game, to go for a touchdown. That all really hurts. But, I mean, you give up a goal in the first minute and a half of the first and second periods, that's not good.
That's tough. Yeah.
And one of the things that they've been pretty good about is getting right out the gate and scoring, being the first team to score, even if it's the second period, they're the first team to score. And again, going back to, I'm just going to keep repeating this, having that 30-plus shots a game, having something like that and averaging that, I'll take those odds. You know, any given night when it comes to this team. And the way that it's looking right now, we've got a ways to go before we get to put you to work, Michael. December 7th is our next home game here. But we're looking forward to following the Kings up and down the river and, of course, catching up on them over the weekend on Monday. We'll go over the scores and everything, see how they did over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to keep an eye on, too. And then, of course, you know, we start our high school stuff next week on
that's
Tuesday.
That's right.
When I'll be doing the Lincoln girls game against Nina, which that's how Rapids ended their season last year against Nina, and it could be another tough one, but it'll be interesting to see of they only lost two from last year, so how much these girls have grown over the off season, because I know they all play a lot of hoops.
Mm-hmm. Got that one. That's an exciting one. You know, Lincoln alums around here, we love to see our Lincoln, our Lincoln team get out there. The Assumption Newman Catholic game is pretty, you know, that stands out pretty big too, though. That's the same week, just a couple days later, Thursday, November 21st. We'll be covering that one for you too.
Our good friend Chad Holmes will be bringing us that game. Yeah, so we'll be getting the feed here from him. So
looking forward to that. Because I mean, those two teams again, very similar to a lot of the rivalries we talk about.
Absolutely.
Records do not matter. Does not matter.
Right.
I've
kind of got my opinion on what's going to happen. I mean, the Royals return just about everybody, and Newman's trying to build back again.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a feeling of how that's going to go, but at the same time, it's that rivalry, James. You know, we talked about that with the Packers-Bears. The writing's on the wall, but at the same time, it's that rivalry. You just don't know, and you get a weird bounce one way or the other. It could be a totally different ball game.
Preseason predictions and things are one of the more ridiculous things we do in sports, but we do it all the time. But are you looking at this Assumption team, the Assumption girls team? Are we looking at a team that can make a deep run?
If they can make it through that sectional, yes. Mm-hmm. Pittsville is good. I believe Pittsville is in there. Pacelli is in there as well. Then if you get through that, you're looking to hopefully get past Lena, who has, I believe she's a center, 6'1", 6'2", that she really got. She's, enough no disrespect to her teammates, she's the reason why Lena got to state last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember seeing some of that game,
I believe that's why they played for the title against the Space Ponies that edged out Assumption to go to state, that Albany Monticello, the Comets and the Mustangs, they call them the Space Ponies.
Yeah, you're not going to forget a name like that.
That's
you're not going to forget that.
Yeah, no.
That's good.
I love it.
So if they can get, because they got moved out of the southwest corner of the state or the southeast, it was southeast last year, they got moved to the northeast, and it's a constant rotation. We live in the middle of the state, and it will be interesting to see how things will transpire with the seating. It's no longer done in person. It's computers, and if they can put Assumption as the one seed in that their half of the bracket and try to get Pacelli and Pittsville on the other side to battle it out as a 2-3 seed and only have to worry about one of them, that'd be an Assumption's credit. And the big thing, though, for me is if they did better last year with it, they were really bad with it the year before, is long scoring droughts. Mm-hmm. And that's what cost them against Edgar that the year prior. Mm-hmm. And last year, you know, and you can say that about all basketball games. You make one or two more hoops, you win the game. Well, that definitely could have been the case. There was a long scoring drought there that, man, I mean, they jumped out to start that second half, and then all of a sudden if there wasn't a lid on the basket was gone.
Mm.
God, do I know what that's like. We are going to be hearing Michael this Tuesday as Nina takes is heading to Lincoln High School to take on at 7:15. That game will be being played. Looking forward to it. Certainly looking forward to the Kings coming back to town here next month. That'll be fun as well. And Michael will be joining us next week on Playmakers here. But you can catch Michael right now. Our new newsletter is out. You can go and hear some of the great writing that he's done in there. Keep up to date on all of that and all your local high school sports, local sports, really. Michael's doing a great job covering that for us with the newsletter. Get that at WFHR.com. Everybody spread the word about it and sign up right now. Michael, you have yourself a great weekend, man.
You too, and gosh, I hope Tyson wins.
I'm so with you, man. I hope so. All of us of a certain age, I think. Yes, but just God, I honestly, if somebody came to me, the sports god came to me, and James, you can decide. Chicago Bears can win this weekend. Or Mike Tyson. No, Mike. No question. Not even thinking about it. Mike. Give me a knockout in the first 5-10 seconds, and I will watch it all weekend long, over and over.
The longer that fight goes, it's going to shade towards Paul. How old is Tyson? 58. How old is Paul? And I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, it would be like either one of us getting into a brawl with Randy Paul. It's he's so much older than us, I'm not calling Randy out by any
means. Good,
but it's just the natural even if any of us were in good shape, not saying we're not. Well, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I'm not.
But, I hear you.
But you get what I'm saying. The strength, the endurance, the speed, that if Tyson can nail one or two good ones, that's his best option to win it quickly.
Put him down early. I was talking to my dad about this. We were actually shadow boxing while we were doing this. And I mentioned before, my dad was a professional fighter. And he's also had a handful of surgeries over the years, survived COVID. He's had it rough in the last handful of years. Done a lot to his body. And his, athletics did a lot to him. He's even got recently, the other day, he got a big, I don't know what happened to his hip, but he did something to it. So we're standing up and we're doing this. And as soon as the fight comes up, I feel this thing go past my ear, and I don't know what it is. I look over; it's him, just throwing lefts. He's a righty, and his lefts were just going he was going so fast. Boxers are different, man.
There's something about it. Yeah.
Jake Paul can try all he wants; he can play pretend all he wants. He's never going to be a real boxer. Maybe after this fight, maybe he might be. Maybe he turns into when he starts fighting actual fighters
in their
prime and everything. But we know that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, right.
But this is a real fighter. And this is maybe the one of the last great warrior fighters we're going to see. There's some great boxers out there right now, but they don't make them like this anymore.
This is the definition of that. Yeah.
Again, thanks for joining us, Michael.
No problem, guys. Have a great week.
You too, man.
You too. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter, everybody. I'm not kidding. He's a great writer. Michael, play it off sometimes. He's very good at what he does.
He is a man. He knows more about local sports than anyone I've met. Man.
We have some great resources around here where we need high school information. Randy, Michael, we can go to them. I need anything to do with baseball. I go to you. We got great resources
around here. Let's use them.
We got Coach Paul out there. We can talk to hockey and stuff. And we're looking forward to him joining us real soon, and plenty more. And we got all you out there. You guys are smart.
You guys are great too.
You guys are, of course, you're smart. Listen to us. That's a great idea. Great idea.
Nice.
Oh, I'm gonna go now. We'll be back. We'll be back to wrap up the show here at Playmakers here at WFHR. Oh yeah, I'm doing it again.
Yeah,
I'm.
We can't stop you.
Nobody's ever done back-to-back bumpers. Nobody's ever done this. Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of the week for us, everybody.
That's why it sounds so weird.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. Before we wrap up, we will get into our schedule for the weekend, let you know what sports you have to look forward to. A lot of Badgers in your weekend coming up. I did have a couple of notes about the Brewers I wanted to touch on with you, Seth.
Okay.
And recommend an article, I think, to some people.
Okay.
And especially you, I think you're interesting. It does look like the Brewers are starting to be early on attached to Gleyber Torres. There's some talk of that.
Interesting.
That he could be a bat that they bring over. There is still a lot of talk about Pete Alonso, I'm hearing. And then I'm seeing being reported out of the Milwaukee Tribune and some other places. But one of the most recent things I saw was actually somebody leaving. That does look like Colin Ray may sign with Detroit.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was available. He was a free agency that he could do that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I had not heard about, though. I mean, I'd heard about the Pete Alonso thing. I have my doubts about that one, just because I think Alonso's asking price is going to be too high.
Yeah.
Then the Brewers are going to be willing to pay, considering what his skill set is. I just don't think that. But Gleyber Torres would, I think, be a very good fit. He's done in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that happened last year, attitude stuff, all this stuff. He needs a change of scenery, you know, the classic change of scenery. The Yankees did not extend him a qualifying offer.
Yeah.
Which makes him very attractive. That means that the Brewers do not lose a draft pick.
Right.
By signing him.
That's impressive.
Big. That is a big thing. So I think he's a useful infielder. You know, in the past, we've seen him. He's got a pretty good bat when he puts it all together. I think that would be an intriguing signing for the Brewers.
And speaking of intriguing signings.
Oh, ooh.
There is El Espectaculo. Espectaculo.
Ooh.
Espectaculo.
What is that?
That is the Brewers prospect Ernesto Martinez Jr. He can hit home runs one inning and do the splits while taking throws at first base the next.
Ooh.
To say he'll be fun to watch in the Brewers report when they report to spring training in February may be an understatement. A club source confirmed an earlier report that Martinez had re-signed with Milwaukee on a minor league contract, then included an invitation to big league camp, making the, quote, Cuban Missile the Brewers' first known non-roster invitee.
Oh, my gosh. He's got two nicknames. Two!
And that means there is no guarantees for Martinez. The 6'6" left-handed hitter from Cuba, who first signed Milwaukee back in 17, put up a great OPS last season in Double
A. Okay.
Does look like he could be a possible like big addition to the roster coming up.
Man, well, if that's the case, then no, they're not signing Pete Alonso.
Right?
If they have someone in, I mean, this guy, I mean, I've never heard of him, but oh my God, he's massive. He's a big guy.
He is a big, big guy. He
wow.
He reminds me of like a combination of Randy Arosa.
A Rosarena,
yeah. and Aaron Judd.
Yeah.
Like the size. Just size-wise, I'm saying.
He looks, honestly, you know what? With his body shape and everything, he's looking Frank Thomas.
I'm thinking Frank Thomas right there. Yeah. He was an MVP in the league last year, so it looks like, you know, might be another addition.
That doesn't always translate, but look, I think of that guy that that Cleveland had, Noel. However you say his last name. Mm-hmm. I mean, another massive guy who had some pretty good success. We'll see what happens. You know, guys like that are so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. You know, we love big power hitters, right? Yeah. Let's get him up there. I want to see what he can do.
I will watch Rowdy Tellez the rest of his career. I'll always be a fan of that guy. Hey, okay, what team he plays for.
Can't run, can't do anything, but he can hit the ball a long way.
That,
you know?
Ball. Kyle Schwarber. I love Kyle Schwarber. I love watching guys like that.
The all-beefy squad. I love the beefy guys, you know?
I want somebody to put together that team. I want to see that team. We just got to touch on this a little bit, because I imagine we'll be talking more about this kid. Roki Sasaki.
Yes.
The 23-year-old prospect out of Japan.
Out of Japan, yep.
This kid is looking to join the big leagues. He is a free agent.
He's been posted by his team, yep.
Does look like he'll be able to be signed and brought in the upcoming season, even.
Yep.
And all bets are off on this kid. Now, I have heard, along with Juan Soto, the Chicago White Sox have made offers to these players. I believe Jerry Reinsdorf offered them a couple bucks and free Portillo's. So you got to start somewhere in bidding. You got to start somewhere.
As attractive as the Portillo's is. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
You know.
It's not bad.
Maybe a little stop off at the Billy Goat, on the side. Maybe get a cheeseburger, you know.
No, I'll never see this kid. I'll never see him. When he comes to town, that's it. He does look really impressive. If you get a chance to look him up, Roki Sasaki.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting delivery. Really interesting the delivery. I like it.
In Japanese delivery for their pitchers, I have always enjoyed. You know, of course, we remember Hideo Nomo.
Yes.
When he came, you know, the first big Japanese signing, mm-hmm. and, you know, the tornado windup that he had, he turned around and his back is to the home. Man, I love those. I love those crazy, like the old Louis Tiant, you know, the big windups. I've always been a fan of those.
Same.
Love it.
There's something about an interesting lineup that'll always give it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this kid.
Yes.
Shout out to Chris Sale and Garrett Crockett for winning Comeback Player of the Year awards.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
And true to form, the White Sox are shopping him.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
Man.
They are also shopping our fan base.
The whole fan base. The whole stadium, whole thing. Yeah,
everything's for sale. I did want to mention this article, too, that I'd come across. And I thought this was quite interesting. Brandon Doolittle, ESPN staff writer, put together an article about what if every World Series was between the number one seeds?
Like this last year. By the way, complainers out there, you got what you wanted. Mm. You got both best teams in the league according to record. So stop complaining. Jeez. Right. Anyway, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. I said no, that no. On my chest. Glad you did it. Glad you did it. So, and this is the first time we've had that in a while.
It's been a while, yes.
We had that. It's interesting to see how the thing would be different. Like, they went back to 2012 in the actual World Series. San Francisco won over the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. But it would have been the Yankees and the Nationals. That's a whole different World Series.
Can you imagine if all those years that the Nationals got to the playoffs with Bryce Harper, if they had gotten, think of that stretch run,
man.
If they had gotten into the World Series all those years.
Young Juan Soto coming up that team, and maybe he stays.
I'm telling you, Bryce Harper doesn't leave. If the Nats win a World Series, I don't think he goes.
I feel bad saying this, but I still feel like Steven Strasburg's career goes the same way.
It does.
I feel like it, no matter what 100%. It does. Yeah. In 2013, it would have been the same, Red Sox and Cardinals.
Okay.
That one would have stayed the same.
Interesting.
But back in 2014, where it's the Giants in Kansas City, the actual World Series, it would have been the Angels and Nationals again.
Wow. That's right. The Angels. Oh, that was their last chance. And I remember that game so well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then you look forward to let's see here. Back in 2018. 2018, where you could have had quite an amazing series. Now, the actual World Series was the Boston Red Sox versus the Los Angeles Dodgers,
right.
But you would have had the Red Sox and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. People forget the Brewers had the best record in the league that year, and they got so close. Mm. They got so close.
Which wasn't that long ago, which means it's possible again.
It's possible.
Especially when you're bringing up the Cuban Missile here. I mean, the guy's pretty big. He's pretty...
El Spectacular. I love that.
Great name. Two nicknames.
Two nicknames.
It's pretty good. You know, you got to be pretty good to get two nicknames, right? That's got to be pretty good.
I love it.
Looking at our schedule for the weekend, everybody, stick around. We got great basketball coming up for you. Wisconsin men's basketball coming up as they host Arizona. Both good teams. Arizona, very fine team. It's a ball night here at WFHR, 7 o'clock start time for that. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, 4:30, your Badgers hosting the number one Oregon Ducks.
Oof.
Hoping for some respect, hoping to get some respect throughout the rest of the country, and just hold your head up.
We'll see what happens, yeah.
And you never know, any given Saturday.
Any given.
And on Sunday at 1:40, Wisconsin women's basketball hosting UW-Milwaukee. Should be a good one. We'll talk about all of this on Monday's edition of Playmakers and get you ready for Wisconsin men's basketball that night as well. Join Seth and I at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater tonight.
We're heading there right now.
Yeah,
join us.
Right now, everybody. Have a good weekend. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.